And they've already started. They're already here. Amen? God is good. God is good. Praise the Lord. All right. John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Praise the Lord. I guess I did all my preliminary stuff because I don't seem to have anything else to say to rattle on about. Praise the Lord. Come, bless the Lord. Father, we just come before you with thanksgiving. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word this morning. Father, I ask you to just open the scriptures to us. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, all of us, so that we can follow you and to know what great things you have done. So, Father, today, let the mercies of God be evident, be powerful, be strong, be open. Father, my heart is open. My heart is open to receive your promise and your word. And we give you praise. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, it's good to read the scriptures. It's good to open the Bible because God gave it to you. Amen. How many know Paul didn't get to read the Gospel of John? Praise the Lord. Or he might have later on. Maybe he got a first print or a first copy. Amen. Paul didn't get to read the book of Hebrews. He didn't get to read the book of 1 Timothy. He got to live it. Amen. What a benefit that you have. What a benefit that you have the New Testament. Amen. Praise God. These guys all lived it and then they wrote about it so you wouldn't make the same mistake. Amen. And here we are doing it. You know, most of us, we read the epistle after the fact. You know, we repeat, you know, the same problems are happening all, you know, time and time again. But since we don't have those guys, at least they wrote it down so that we can hear, so that we can know what the same problems that somebody had in the beginnings of the New Testament church, the same problems that you're going to have. Amen? So isn't that exciting? You know, we got the same flesh as they had. Everybody know that? You have the same flesh that people in the Old Testament had and in the New Testament had. We got the same kind of people. People, you have not evolved. Amen? You're just still sinful and wicked in your flesh. However, we have a God who has given us the gospel of Jesus. He's given us good news. He's delivered us out of the power of sin. Amen? So God, the gospel is so powerful because what happened is that God has given us His righteousness, and it's only by faith, and you receive it by saying amen. You remember Abraham? We'll get to John in a minute. You remember Abraham, right? He said, hey, Abraham, I'm going to give you all this land that you see, and every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I'm going to give it to you. And he said, okay. That's the guy that God was looking for. Amen. That's the guy that God was looking for. And he's still looking for that guy today. He looks at anybody. His eyes run to and fro throughout the whole earth trying to find somebody who will believe his promise. Amen? And when you believe his promise, he does everything else. Just believe the promise. Just receive the promise. And then he gave the law. The law was good because it kind of kept people alive and from killing each other until Jesus came. Amen? The law was not for you to get saved. The law was to keep the line going, keep the promise going from Abraham to Jesus. I mean, by the time Moses came along, boy, we had to have something. We had so many people, had millions, a couple of million people who were the Hebrews, and we had to have something to kind of keep them in line. And we had the promises and the covenant to demonstrate, and the temple and the tabernacle. And then finally the temple and the sacrifices to bring that promise all the way to what? The fullness of time, which was the birth of the Lord Jesus. Amen? And then Jesus Christ fulfilled that law. Does it mean that the law is bad? No, it's just you can't keep it. You can't do it. You can't perform it. But the power of God is that He comes on and lives on the inside of you and He does it. Amen? Say yes. Amen. Yes, He does. Do you believe that? Well, I don't know. I've been trying hard. Well, that's your problem. You've been trying hard. You just need to go see Jesus every day. You just need to see Jesus every day. You cannot fix bad. You can't fix sin. He fixed it, but He fixes it a different way than you do. He does it from the inside out instead of from your brain to your hands and feet. See, you try to do it from your brain to your hands and your feet. God does it from the heart. He comes and moves on the inside of you to transform you and to change you. Amen? That's what He does. And what happens is we just kind of forget daily. And so every day you want to bring yourself. Every day. His mercies are new how often? Every morning. His mercies are new every morning. And so what you want to do, if you want to make it a hard fast ritual, you can do that. That's fine. If that works for you. If whatever works for you to get in the presence of God. I'm not going to make you a law. Just get in the presence of God. If you're doing it, driving to work, drinking your coffee. Don't text God while you're driving. There's a law. There's no law to this. Amen? Now, there are practical applications, practical things you can do, but it's not going to work for everybody the same way. What I want you to hear is get in the presence of God. Worship God. Let Him take all of your burden. Amen? Let Him take all of your burden, all of your care, all of your sin, the burden of it, let Him lift it. Let Him take it every day. Amen? Are you walking happy every moment? Amen? Or at least every other moment. What I mean by that is here comes the devil again to whisper in your ear and tell you how you failed or tell you how you messed up or somebody to put guilt and condemnation on you so that you'll slow down. You know, God wants you to go on full speed ahead, and the devil loves to slow you down, doesn't he? He loves to slow you down. He loves to put you know, you're running, and he loves to stick his foot out there and just make you just trip right over it. And when you trip over it, you say, Father, thank you for the dumb devil. Thank you that I don't have any ability to see. Thank you that you're blessing me and taking care of me. Make every problem a place of rejoicing. Well, I can't do that. That's a lie. I can't do it. What do you mean I can't do it? Of course you can't do that. But God has already made a way for you to rejoice in every circumstance and every situation. Now, if somebody wants to argue with me later, you can do that, and that's fine. And you know, I hadn't had the same things, same problems you've had, but I've had a bunch of them. And you know what? If people tell me, say, how come you're happy all the time? Well, Janet can probably tell you that she's seen a few times it hadn't quite, oh, there you are. See, she moved, so I didn't know she was in here. But by and large, what does it mean when she moves from that side to this side? In politics, that means one thing. I don't know what it means in church. She changed her mind. Thank you, Danny. Danny helped you. What a good brother. Amen. All right, but by and large, I'm going to rejoice. By and large, I'm going to rejoice and give praise to God and thank you, Jesus, for the goodness and the wonder that you've shown. Amen? Because nothing can steal from me what God has done. Nothing can steal from me what I've got in my heart. And I want you to know today that nothing can steal from you what God has put in your heart. And whether you want to say amen out loud or not, say amen inside. Amen. Amen inside. Well, somebody will think I really was committed to it if I said it out loud and they heard me. Well, just say it in your heart. Say, you know. You know what I'm saying, right? Is that, you know, people think if they give any assent to anything, don't even look like you nodded your head. It's just get right there in your heart, you and God together, and say, amen. This is true. I'm totally happy. You know, the Lord gave me a John's still there. God gave me a short rendition of walking with him. It's joyful. You've heard me say it before. Joyful, grateful, forgiven, and forgiving. Joyful, grateful, forgiven, and forgiving. Now, I don't exactly know how that all works together, and I can go find your scriptures for all of it, but I'm joyful. I am grateful. Thank you, Jesus. I am forgiven. I know it. I'm done with it. What about if you do something again or do something over and over again? I'm forgiven. You know you're forgiven if you'll receive it. You're forgiven if you'll receive it. You know, the only thing unforgivable is not receiving forgiveness. That's it. That's the thing that, but of course, that's the thing that gets you salvation. That's what we're going to talk about. All right? Praise the Lord. And believing the laws and believing in all kinds of other things that might increase your behavior or your likelihood to be approved of by men. Or according to the scripture, looking like if you're looking at Deuteronomy, if you do all these things, then you'll be blessed. And if you don't do all these things, you'll be cursed. Well, again, that was all to carry the gospel and make sure that Jesus arrived and the proper people were in place to birth him and to have the gospel of the kingdom in the fullness of time. But then God moved on the inside of us and he gave us a new covenant because it was impossible for the gospel, for the law to bring you to a place of salvation. It was impossible for you to be able to come into the presence of God by the works of your own hands in the works, because you're just too far gone. Face it. You're just too far gone. Amen. So, you're forgiven. Act like it. Amen. You're forgiven. Act like it. Walk like it. You're joyful. You're grateful. All right, let's look at John chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John the Baptist, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he had to go through Samaria. Then he comes, because they didn't, usually Jews kind of avoided Samaria, if at all possible. That was just like a stronghold of contention. You didn't want to go to Samaria. I mean, those were the other people, the bad people, the people who used to be Jews with you, but they're no longer, used to be Israel with you, but they're no longer. They're half-breeds. They're the 10 tribes plus whatever they mixed with. And you just don't want to go up there. You don't want to go through there if you can avoid it. I mean, this is a definite schism. So he needed to, but he had to go through Samaria. So him and his disciples are going through Samaria to get there, to get to Galilee. Then comes he to a city of Samaria that's called Sychar. Most people think that's Shechem. And you can read about, Janet and I were reading about Shechem in the book of Judges last night. And very interesting about the descendants of Gideon. How many know Gideon had 70 kids? Actually, I think he had 71. Because they killed 70. Because this one stepson so it killed 70 of them, but there was one left to go tell about it. So it must have been 71. And then there was the stepson. So 71 and a half. So the stepson comes down. You have to read the book of Judges. The book of Judges is a great book. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun to read it. You know, how many heard of Gideon? How many heard of his 70 sons? See? It's good to read. All right. So he came down to the city of Samaria, or a city of Samaria. Samaria is a region. It's not a city. Okay? The area of, to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. How many know Jesus got weary? It's interesting to read the Bible. Amen. Jesus got tired. He got tired and he got thirsty. He was kind of like you. He didn't just float around on a cloud or something. Jesus was just like you. Amen. So Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, thus sat on the well. And it was about the sixth hour. It's about noon. So the sixth hour starts. Sixth hour of the day starts. The day starts with when they're talking about time in the scripture. They start from daylight, so about 6 o'clock in the morning. Okay, so the sixth hour of the day is noon. When they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, that was about what? Anybody remember the third hour of the day? That's why it was odd for them to be saying, these are drunk. These are not drunk. It's only the third hour of the day. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. Another book, a book written about it called 9 o'clock in the morning. All right? So it's about noon, and Jesus sitting on this well. Of course, the sun's up, and it's, anybody ever been to Israel, it starts to get kind of warm about that time of the day. And there comes a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said to her, "Give me to drink." For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Now, one thing odd about this woman is coming to draw water at noon. Usually you're going to draw water early in the morning, for the day. This woman is drawing water at noon, and there's nobody else there. So you're wondering, why is this woman a little different than some of the other gals who kind of have a normal routine? And we'll probably find out here in a minute. Then said the woman of Samaria to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings, ask to a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria, for the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Well, she is kind of a bright gal. Amen. She's not humble and lowly. She actually has decided she's going to strike up a conversation with this Jew, with this man of Jerusalem, of Judea, of Galilee. Not certainly. She can tell he is not from Samaria. And she decides she's going to strike up this conversation, so she is not demure. Amen? She's not like, certainly, sir. How can I help you? Now, let me ask you a question here, buddy. So I think it's very interesting that she is brash, and she has got a lot of baggage. She's got a lot of life in her, as we'll find out. And that's the kind of people, Jesus actually likes people like that. Amen? Jesus isn't just looking for people who are just sweet, nice, and cozy. He's looking for anybody who has a need. Amen? Sometimes I feel like I'm not like that. I'm not looking for people with needs. Well, you're the pastor. However, you find yourself kind of wanting to just kind of live, your daily thing. And I think we're all that way. It's just very rare to have somebody who is just all day, who's just looking for somebody with a problem. Amen? However, Jesus is ready for this. And when you live by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you're ready for it. You're ready at any moment to take on whoever comes your way. Amen? Hey, quick, let's call Pastor Jim. Let's call Pastor Dave. Let's call Barbara or somebody who, let's call somebody spiritual. No, be ready. Just be ready to know that you have full capacity to walk with the Holy Spirit and instruct someone who comes your way. Amen? Do you believe that? And I know your head doesn't. See, the difference between believing and thinking is your head. Because you're taking stock of your head rather than taking stock of the provision that is behind you. You have all the power of heaven and all the wisdom of heaven behind you. You can read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says to those who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, to him by the Spirit, as the Spirit wills, is given the Spirit the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the gifts of healings, gifts of other tongues, gifts of prophesying, the gift of faith, supernatural faith. So all of these gifts are given to you in the moment that you need them. Some of them you may have as a regular course. Some of them may operate with you as a regular course of your life in the Lord. Some of them may just crop up once in a while because they're as the Spirit wills. Amen? So you are fully supplied with the power of God backing you up. You ever read the stories in the Old Testament? Remember the story of Elijah and the young man, the servant of Elijah. Oh, look outside. They're surrounding us. And Elijah tells him, Lord, open the young man's eyes. Those that be with us are more than those that be with them. And it was all true. Amen? So if you're sick this morning, those that be with you are more than those that be with the sickness. Amen? There's more with you. You've got more power and more authority than those who are applying to you the work of Satan. It's no match for the work of God. Amen? You don't know that you live in heaven. Amen? Now I know you got troubles that come and go. I know that. They come and they go. And some of them seem to stay longer than others. But right now, you need to know that your troubles are no match for the living God who lives on the inside of you, who causes you to rejoice in the face of depression. Yes. I mean, you have every opportunity to be depressed. Certainly. I mean, the devil gives you plenty of opportunities. The world gives you plenty of opportunities. But you have chosen not. You have chosen to rejoice because you know whom you have believed and that he is able to keep that promise which he has committed unto you against the day of his coming. In other words, until the day of his coming, he has promised to care for you and to meet all of your needs and to supply you, and you are a walking example of the power of God. At least I am. Hallelujah. Well, I've seen you. You don't look like that. Well, I don't care what you say. I care what he says. And what you say and what you see is not always the truth. It may be what you see. It may be evidentiary of the fact that I have not fully matured. But that's okay. I believe that what God promised, he's performing on the inside of me. And I am who he says I am. So, this woman, verse 9, woman of Samaria says, how is it you being a Jew ask a drink of me? Y'all have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that said unto you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he would have given you living water. If you would have known the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, see, most of us, we don't know the gift of God. Some of us, we got saved and we thought, well, we're just waiting for heaven. You didn't know the gift of God that it just immediately empowered you to live in this world as if you were in heaven. You ready for that? Come on. You ready for that? I mean, quit believing you're just trudging along, trudging to the grave. Glory to God. No. You are powerfully walking as an army all by yourself. As an army of God. Okay, fine. So you're Secret Service. But it does turn up once in a while, doesn't it? It does show up. All right? Because Secret Service, man, those guys are trained like nobody's business. He looked like everybody else, but sure enough, when trouble cometh, they're on top of it. That's you. You look like just, you know, well, we won't say what you look like. You know what I'm talking about. But God has prepared you and empowered you and gifted you to do mighty works and exploits. Amen. Remember what he said to Timothy? He said, don't let any man despise your youth. Boy, you're just not even prepared. You little pipsqueak, you're not up to it. David, they talked to David, you know, said David was not up to it. And David was up to it because he had a big God and he knew it. And you're up to it because you have the living God and the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. If you knew the gift of God, some of us, you just don't know the gift of God. You don't know what comes with the gift. You know, I mean, some of you don't know what came with it. Yeah, you open something up, you don't know what came with it. You know, a lot of people, you don't know your cell phone does 10 times what it does. All you know is you pick it up and, hello. You know, it's your secretary. It'll do 10, 12, 15 things. But you don't know that. All you know is hello. Because that's all you got it for. But see, you got salvation as your gift to heaven, but God wants to give you much more today. Amen? He does. And this woman began to try and see some of it. Then the woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with. He promised her living water. Well, you don't have anything to draw with, and this well is deep. From where then have you this living water? She's still kind of sassy. Amen. Aren't you sassy? Are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well? She knew what she believed. And drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. And Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman said to him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. And Jesus said to her, go, call your husband and come here. Well, why did he say that? You know, she was ready to have some living water. You know how Jesus will always bring you around to where you need to be. Amen. He'll always have a word in season which will be exactly what you need, because you don't always know what you need. You think you know what you need. You think you're being smart and sassy. You think you know what you need. You need to be aware of the fact that you don't know what you need. Most every day. A lot of times you don't know what you need and you just kind of keep going anyway. Or you do something that'll, you know, kind of set you backwards. He says, go call your husband and come here. The woman answered and said, because Jesus knew this, right? And said, I have no husband. Jesus said to her, So in other words, hey, gotcha. I don't have a husband. Jesus said, got you. You've had 5 husbands. So yeah, she didn't have one, but she's had 5, and the one she has now is not her husband. In that you said truly. The woman said to him, sir, I think you're a prophet. Well, all of a sudden he got her attention. And then all of a sudden, move off of that. Y'all do that? Somebody gets in your business and you just kind of quickly move over here. And she was good at it. Are y'all good at it? Kind of getting off of what God's on. God's on something. All of a sudden, you know how to how to make a quick shift in your position. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place that men ought to worship. Another interesting thing is that the Samaritans began worshiping, and that's Mount Gerizim. They built a temple up on Mount Gerizim, and that's where they would worship. And so when they were separated from the Jews, from Judah, they began to worship up on Mount Gerizim, an alternate temple. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship you know not what." We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Wow. But he carries on. So in other words, we know where we are. You guys have kind of did your own thing. But it doesn't matter. Because the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such to worship Him. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, so for whatever she was saying and whatever she was trying to stir up, he made the answer, but then he pivots to say, but that doesn't matter now. Because now the hour is coming and has arrived that the true worshipers, which she was referring to, shall worship the Father. Now who? Worship who? See, Jesus does this. Remember in Matthew, in the book of Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus begins to refer to God, His Father, as their Father. When you go into your closet, pray to your Father which is in secret, and your Father which is in secret shall reward you openly. He's talking about reward, the Jewish people seeing God as their Abba, as their Father in heaven. They had never heard that, never watched that, never known that before. They have never perceived that before, and here he does it again. Here he does it again with the Samaritan woman. This is not a crowd on the side of a mountain. This is not a crowd on the plain. This is one woman that Jesus took a detour to minister to. He came for the Jews. He indicated that just in that verse prior, is that we know what we worship. Now, of course, certainly he's talking about the Jews in general, and obviously you have the Pharisees and the Sadducees with whom he is not happy with their mean mode of worship and their mode of declaring the Word of God and the law of God. So now, but he's declaring to this individual one woman who is going to minister to her people. How powerful is that? You know, Jesus will minister just to you. Isn't that powerful? In a place that, you know, it's like the woman with the, you know, woman of the, again, a sychar. You know, hey, even the dogs get the bread. Even the dogs get the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Amen. So she went for that. So Jesus is saying, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So, wow, what a gift that He has given to her. He has given her like the secret of the atom. Right here. Amen? He has given her like a gift that nobody yet has gotten. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It's like, boy, take that home. Chew on that. That will last for the rest of your life. It's a word from God which will change your life forever. Amen? So, it's kind of like, okay, forget all of that stuff about this mountain and our temple. The time has arrived that the true worshipers will worship God, will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Okay, verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, which is called Christ, and when he has come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I that speak to you am he. Whew. Wow. All of a sudden, boom. How many think she perceived that, or she figured that out kind of a little while back, but she finally got a chance to say it? Is that, or finally got a chance for him to say it? Is that, I that speak to you am he. And she was kind of thinking, you know what? I kind of knew that. Because that's why she brought it up. Messiah is coming, and he will show us. He will tell us all things. I'm him. And then she went into town, of course, as we know. If you knew what you have, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is that said to you, give me to drink, you would have asked of him, and he would have given you living water. That kind of gave her a clue in verse 10. All right, let's look at the gospel. We got the Reformation Sunday, and that's probably, Pastor Jim probably preach on that next Sunday, is when Martin Luther began to move the church from works to back to faith, to believing, as we talked about here. It's they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It's not about doing worship on the mountain or worshiping in the temple. It's about worshiping the Father in spirit and in truth. How did you get these things? By the Spirit. Okay, let's look at Galatians. We're going to look at Galatians. And we'll bump over to Timothy, and then we'll back to Galatians. All right? Now, Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. And all the brethren which are with me to the churches of Galatia. Galatia is basically western Turkey to the coast. Basically where Turkey is today. All right? Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ to another gospel. A different gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you. They're talking to you. They're coming in to try to add to what you already have been given. But if there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel, they would take away from the gospel, they would change the gospel from what it is into something else. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we say before, so I say now again, that if any man preach any other gospel to you than that you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, neither received I it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Christ. So that gospel that Paul received came to him through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Jesus appeared to him, first of all, in the road to Damascus, but he also ministered to him in other times as he began to walk with the Lord. Then in chapter 2, as we continue to, he begins to talk about it and talks about 3 years. He went up to Jerusalem after he was in Damascus and Arabia, and then 14 years after being off the desert, then he went up to Jerusalem. So Paul was busy receiving the ministry of the gospel of Jesus during that period of time. All right? Now, I want you to look quickly at 1 Timothy, and then we'll go back to Galatians 3. As we open the book of Galatians, we talked about somebody preaching a different gospel. Timothy, he talks to Timothy about the same thing as Timothy is beginning his ministry in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, Timothy, mine own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I besought you, talking to Timothy, to still abide at Ephesus when I went to Macedonia, that you might charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So apparently there was something going on already in Ephesus. Declare to some that they teach no other doctrine. This is a young man. This is a young man coming, and he's coming to clean up the place, to take on the establishment. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying, which is in faith. So do. There can be a lot of things you can pick to choose to teach on. A lot of things you can try to figure out when God didn't give you what you needed to figure it out. So you probably should just leave that one alone. Amen? We got too many people trying to add too much to the teaching. Let's stick with the gospel. Listen to what he says. Now the end of the commandment, verse 5, in 1 Timothy 1. Now the end of the commandment is charity, agape, out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith without hypocrisy, faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside to vain jangling or meaningless talk, just blather, something to talk about. Because you have a pulpit that's empty and you have something you can, you know, an open temple or an open opportunity to teach whatever in the world you want to teach. We've got a lot of that going on in the church as well, amen? Is that just people get up and start talking about anything? The message we preach, Paul said, is what? Christ. I've chosen to know among you Jesus Christ, nothing else, and Him crucified. Yea, risen again. So he says in verse 5, the end of the commandment, or what the commandment shall produce, is agape love, that is unconditional love coming out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith without unfeigned, unfaked, without pretending, without some other ulterior motive. All right? So in other words, the end of the commandment, what happens is when the gospel is preached, you end up with people who love unconditionally. They love the way Jesus loved. And that's you. Amen? That's how you are. Really? Yes. Well, I hadn't noticed. Well, don't look in the mirror that you look in. Look in the Scripture. See, if you look at the epistles, and I've said this umpteen times, you look at the epistles, you don't read the back of it and find out what you're supposed to do. You read the front of it and find out what God did, and then you read the back of it and see what that looks like. I'm talking about reading an epistle. Usually Galatians, Philippians, Colossians, most of these epistles that have been written, especially by Paul, have a because and a therefore. Because this is true, therefore this is what it looks like at the end of the day, is that you are transformed because of what Jesus Christ did on the inside of you. Amen? That doesn't mean you don't participate, because you could say, nah, I'd rather punch him in the nose. Right? But you know what God has already done on the inside of you. You know He's changed you. You are changed, transformed. You are different than you were before. Amen? All right. So the end of the commandment is agape, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved, because they have had the opportunity to do so from a pulpit, have turned aside into vain jangling. What's that? Genealogies and questions that God does not address. And there's a lot of things in the Scripture that God really does not address your silly question. Amen? He doesn't address your silly question, because He's not interested in you getting off onto that. What He's interested in is you hearing the good news and you hearing what He tells you to do. Verse 7 goes further, desiring to be teachers of the law, because that's what they grew up with, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say or whereof they affirm. But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. The law is good, it's fine, but it's not talking, but the law is not for salvation. The law is not to save you. The law is helpful. Can keep people from getting robbed, choked, stolen from, getting committed adultery on. I mean, the law is good. It's good. It just describes It describes God. The law describes God and His goodness. It's fine. And here's what it's helpful for. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man, obviously not, because it points out what? What does the law point out? Sin. So it's not made for a righteous man, which now you are, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers and manslayers and whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind, men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. So that's what the law is for. But people, you got people here who are preaching law. You got people preaching law as if in place of the gospel or alongside the gospel. Of course, that's what they begin to do, you know, during the days of the Reformation. They're preaching law. In fact, you could even get people out of trouble in purgatory. You could get grandma out of purgatory by giving money to get rid of her sins. You couldn't do anything. You can't help that. If grandma did that, grandma's in trouble. But if grandma believed in Jesus, grandma's okay. If Aunt Susie was, or Uncle Jim, I'll say Uncle Jim. We don't want to live all in women. If Uncle Jim sinned, if he believed in Jesus, you know what? He's going to heaven. He's going to be with Jesus. Amen? If he didn't relinquish faith. You know the way to get out of the gospel? The only way to get out of the gospel is one way, unbelief. That's it. Amen? I said it before. I said it earlier in the message. Is that unbelief is the only way out of the gospel. And you can't do that easily. You can't do that easily. Hebrews talks about it. It says, somebody who's already experienced the goodness of God, the power of the world to come, the power of the gospel. In other words, somebody who knows exactly what they're doing and to turn around and say, you know, I've just decided I'm not going to do it. That's the only guy. You know, you can't tell a five-year-old doesn't know how to do that. A little child doesn't know how to, well, I hate you, Mom and Daddy. I'm going to be emancipated. You know, you can't do that. They can't do that. You know, I hate you. I hate you too. Come over here. You know. Come here. I love you. Give you a big kiss. I said, God loves you. It's hard for you to get out of His good mercy. Amen? But He says here, let's look back over in Galatians. I want to look back over it. See, because unbelief is the only sin that God doesn't forgive. Why? Because on its face, you have rejected the forgiveness of God. And that's the only way into the kingdom of heaven is God's forgiveness. Amen? Amen? So sins are not what God is looking at. He's looking at the fact that you did not receive His provision for sin. That's what He's looking for. Look at chapter 3 of Galatians. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, as he's carrying over onto what he was talking about before, about the fact that the gospel is how you got into the gospel. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has evidently been set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Okay, God got me rolling. I got to keep it going now. No, this is exactly in contravention to that doctrine, is that God got you started, now you keep it going. Isn't that true? But in the natural man, that's what you think. Even in your subconscious mind, you're emotionally tied to the idea that God's watching and I better behave. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit, and he works miracles among you. Somebody who's operating by the Spirit and healing people and giving them words of encouragement and prophetic words. Does he do it by the works of the law, or does he do it by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know you therefore that they which are of faith are the same, are the children of whom? Moses? No. They're the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall the Jews be blessed. Nope. In you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And who's he talking to? The most kind of all nations that there are, the Galatians. So in you shall all... So let's read that part again in verse 8. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, in you shall all nations of the earth be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are the works of the law are under the works of the law are cursed. Are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. The first says that in Habakkuk chapter 2. And then again in Romans, repeats in Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. In other words, if you determined to give yourself to the law, that's how you're going to be judged. You choose to be, well, I'm just going to be good and hope God sees it. It's not going to work. It's not going to work out well for you. Because the law is over. Is the law over as far as behaving yourself and not murdering? No, that part's not. But the law as far as your relationship with God, that portion of the law which said that this is what brings you to God? Well, the only part that brings you to God is the part that says you're wicked and sinful and you need a Savior. And God has made provision for that. So that's what that Reformation, where it brought us, where it helped us. Amen. We're thankful for it, but didn't complete. We still had some of the same stuff, but thank God. Thank God we come back to faith. Come back to faith in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? Thank God. And thank God for this woman receiving that gospel. This is powerful stuff. The reason I talk about this kind of thing is, of course, it's often, is that I want to be reminded that we live in heaven. Amen? That we live in heaven now. That we're not coming together to find out how to live better, sweeter lives and change the world. The only way to change the world is for you to be a gospel bearer. Amen? It's the only way to change the world is for you to walk in faith and to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. And to first of all know it for yourself. Because if you don't have it for yourself, it's hard to teach it to anybody else. If you're not forgiven, joyful, grateful, forgiven, and forgiving, if you're not there, how are you going to give it to anybody else? Amen? Hallelujah. God is good. God is good. Father, we just thank you for your word today. We thank you that you are filling us up, causing us every day to be filled with your promises and filled with your word, filled with joy, thanksgiving, and peace. Thank you for the transformation that you bring. Thank you for daily causing us to repent, that is, to change our mind and believe the gospel, to not believe what we see with our eyes, to not even believe what we see in the mirror, but to believe what we see when we read the scripture and we look into the face of Jesus. And know that we have been born from above. Even as the scripture said in John, that the condemnation that was revealed by the gospel is that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's the condemnation that crops up. Is that, oh my goodness, my deeds are evil. Rather than knowing that revelation is what saves me. That revelation that my deeds are evil and the light has shone upon them so that I might be delivered into the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, reveal to us our failures and our sins by your word, so that we might daily be transformed into that same image from glory to glory by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we give you praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.